This is RSB in the Update, episode 291, recorded Friday, January 14th, 2011. Next update, next.
Hello, everybody. This is RSBNB Update, back for another week. You may have noticed that Shane is not present with us this time. I'm very sorry about that. We had to start without him because he went to go and, well, empty his bowels. You know,
oh, that's a good one. That's a very good one, Keith. That's very good.
Thank you, Shane. He's back, as you can see. But you know, on this show, we start on a deadline, and if someone's not here, we just have to go without them. So I'm afraid Shane missed out this time. Anyway, that was completely a lie. I just wanted to start with something interesting while I'm doing my first introduction ever. The other person we have this week is someone called Ricey13, perhaps better known as, well, sorry, not better known as Eric, but we're going to call him Eric for the duration of this show.
Because I don't want to be referring to a food item when we're discussing this.
Even though you love rice.
Yes, that's right.
But Eric is here to help us this week because we've had some interesting updates on RuneScape recently. One of those has been the introduction of someone called Nex. We could just launch straight into this and Eric could explain it all
for
us.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Job that we could.
But I think we should both say that we were both too chicken to go in and try and do a suicide run. So
speak for yourself. Well, I don't know. You can tell us about that. But I was gonna go. I'm just gonna put that out there. But I figure there wasn't really much point considering, you know, we got Eric coming with us. So it's fine. So why don't you tell us a bit about it for a start?
Okay,
what is
so, well, it's the fifth boss in the dungeon, and in order to get to the kill count area, you have to get these broken ice key pieces, and you can get them in the other respective God Wars areas, so Zami, Armadillo, Zamorak, and Vandos. But in order to get the key piece, you have to kill the followers in their area, so you can't just kill them in the basic middle area, I guess. And once you get the keys, all four pieces, you can attach them together and it becomes your frozen key. And that'll allow you to go into the kill count area for next. But the key only has 5 charges. And after the 5th charge, it'll go away. But you can repair it in your POH at 50k charge on the Borrow's armor stand or whatever it is.
So 5 times 50k is 250k. That's five charges.
It adds up. I've had to repair mine twice already.
Oh wow! So you went a few times.
Yeah. First 2 trips were just to kind of figure it out and see.
Yeah.
What I have to do, and so I've had probably five or six good trips. So.
Oh, did you die?
I did die once. They blessed me, though, and I got back in time, so.
So even maxed people are susceptible to dying, you know? Because every time I go to a God Wars boss, the first time, I always die. It's happened with everyone. That's why I haven't gone to Zamorak yet.
But Zamorak is one of the easier ones if you're not tanking it.
Definitely.
Don't you trust me, Shane?
Yes, I do. But
Zami's one of the easiest until the tank misses and he piles.
Yeah, up. Well, yeah, that's true. I think I only missed it a couple of times when I was doing the boss takedown.
Oh man!
Yes, well, most of the time I think Leo had my back or someone else. But anyway, that's a story for another time. So. What else is there to say about Nex?
What happens inside the area? What kind of combat do you use? And And what kind of combat does it use?
Well, in the Kill Clan area, there's your mages, your warriors, the rangers, and these thing called Blood Reavers, which kind of look like blood guilds. But I found the best way to get the Kill Clan is just to go in a barracks and pray mage and just kill the Blood Reavers and the mages.
It seems, so are they stronger than the rest of the Kill Count things in the other god places?
Yeah, they're all level 150-ish or so.
Oh, okay.
The Blood Reavers, I think, are a little bit lower. They don't have much HP, though. The only aggressive monsters in there are the mages and the Blood Reavers. So the warriors and the rangers won't attack you unless you attack them. So that makes it a little bit easier just to go on a mage prey and kill the Blood Reavers and the mages. It takes, with the Steel Titan, it takes about 8 to 10 minutes to get a 40 kill count. So it's not bad.
So yeah, that's not too bad. I think some of the other ones take longer.
Yeah, especially Armadillo.
Yeah, that's true. Well.
Oh, I just get it. You said Steel Titan because that's the level 99 summoning.
Yes, okay. Because some of us have level 99 somebody.
Well, you could use an iron one too, I guess.
Yes, we could, I'm sure.
Okay.
So, apart from the kill count then, let's pretend we've got kill count, because we can do that with our Steel Titans. Once we've got into fighting next, what happens?
Well, when you first go in, she'll appear in the middle. It's kind of like the map is sort of a cross.
Yeah.
So she'll appear.
Ancient symbol.
Right. So she'll appear in the middle, and she'll summon four of her mages. Each are a different form of what do you call it? The ancient magic. So you got the blood, the shadow, the ice, and
smoke.
Smoke. Yeah, that's it. So it's basically split into four different divisions, and when you first start, she's in her smoke phase, I believe, and once you kill her a quarter of the way, that will allow you to kill one of the first mage, and after you kill that mage, she'll go into a different form, and once again, once she gets down to half HP, you can kill the second mage, and then she turns into a new form. So it's basically you kill her and basically four different steps. Still haven't figured it out completely, but
it's, yeah, fair enough though, because it's a big thing.
Combat level 1001, 30,000 life points.
Doesn't really sound like that many life points.
30,000.
Well, I mean, it's a fair bit, but you know.
Yeah, but you
3,000 in the old.
Yeah, 3,000 in the old thing, but I don't know. How big have your groups been that you've gone with?
I've been going with mainly 10 to 15 people.
It's not 15, too bad.
15 seems to be the max because in the blood stage, as you know, the blood spells heal. So the more people you have, the more she can attack and more.
Oh, of course.
Oh.
So you need to get enough people to where you can still kill her efficiently, but not too many to where.
Wow, that's really cool on Jagex's part.
Yeah, and also once you kill the four mages, the final stage is her using Soul Split. yeah.
Wow.
I should get 95 prayer for that.
It makes it a challenge.
Yeah, and so how many kills can you guys manage in trip like that?
The most I've managed is four. Most of my trips have been three kills. And the trip that I got four kills on was with 11 people. And everyone kind of knew what they were doing, so I think that kind of helped. But it seems to be 3 to 4 kills with 10 to 15 man teams. So.
Wow.
And how much do you invest per run?
Too much. It's, well, you got 50k for the key, and then the super restores, the overloads, and the therapies all add up to about, I did the math, I think it was 600 to 700k a trip. So.
Whoa.
Well, Chief, that's a nice way we can bankrupt the community. We could do a few boss takedown runs and, you know, do a few good skill of the months like that, and then have another farming skill of the month in April or something.
Yes, we should do that. So, someone was asking me, I think it was Chaotic Jex or Aged Chaotic, whichever you want to call him. He was asking me, you know, why wouldn't you be interested in this? Because I told him that I wasn't going to go to see Nyx this time because I thought there was no point. And he was like, oh, well, but look at all the drops. Have you even looked it up yet? Look at all the different things it drops. Because you get, I mean, pretty much everything is worth several hundred thousand GP every drop. But I suppose if you have to split that between a 10 to 15 man team, it doesn't turn out to be that much in the end, does it?
Right.
And the chances of Nyx actually dropping something super rare would not be that high either, I suppose. You haven't received anything like that yet?
No, not yet. I've killed, looking at my list right now, probably around 30, and I've only received two drops from loot share. And they were brews, like 30 brews noted. So.
Okay, well, there's another reason why we're not going.
Yeah. So that gives you a good idea. Yeah, whether
but
it's
the Torva plate
but
body.
If you did actually get one of those splits, it would pay for
216 mil, 21 mil each for a 10-man team.
That's pretty impressive.
Most of the teams going are doing loot share, though. I don't think I've seen one team do coin share just because everyone wants to.
What the hell is wrong with them?
But you can sort of understand it, though, because, I mean, a 20 mil split for something that crazy difficult would... Yeah, 20 mil doesn't seem like that much.
So, spread the wealth, you know, like, that's the problem. You get these people that are skill collectors, and then they're... spread the wealth.
But yeah, I mean, you could solo Bandos and get several kills, probably more easily than you could teaming Nyx, couldn't you?
Oh, probably.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, I can say that, and I've never even soloed Bandos. So
You know, I was thinking with this, what kind of people are the people that are going? Are they maxed people entirely?
Yeah,
like combat maxed or total maxed skill collectors, or what are they?
When I was going last night... on that team of 11 I was talking about, every person in the team except me had over 105 dunge. And one of the guys was actually the ninth ranked person. I think his name was I Roll Up or something. But yeah, he was 200 LXC dunge. It seems most of the people are just the combat PVM hunters.
The skill collector types.
Yeah. But chaotic crossbows are kind of a requirement to go on the really good teams. Ellie and Divine are pretty common to see.
They're not afraid of losing them, or would they be protected?
That's what I was thinking. I guess not. I just, when I go to these...
Some people are that hardcore.
Yeah, and just a ruined SIBO. So when I die, I only lose my Carls and Dragon Boost and stuff. So it doesn't end up too bad. But
yeah, that's a good way to
do it. Half the teams I try to get into kick me out because I don't have the chaotic crossbow.
Yeah, I'll say welfare.
No. Out there.
As if I
get
speak.
Out. GTFO.
No, okay.
Anyways. Yes, so... I think one thing we can say about this update is that in the future, we're not going to have to deal with the high-level people, i.e. this specific segment of the RuneScape population saying that they don't get updates anymore, seeing as that they've had this one, and they now have Dungeoneering, which goes to level 120. So I think we can safely say that they should be content for a while now.
Yeah. How, just out of interest, how high do you think some of the rewards are going to rise based on the fact that they'll have to be split between 10 to 15 man group? groups.
Yeah, well, I would say almost 500 mil plus for the melee armor set. But then you got to realize that Free Trade is going to be coming out soon, or maybe soon. So that might have a different impact. So
you know, I'm just looking at the Torva plate body right now. 80 defense, 80 constitution, 80 strength. Increases player's life points by 200, and then it has the same 10-hour before degrading thing you repair it at Bob or your player-owned house. Now, is this going to be a practical piece of armor to wear, you know, with its bonuses 156, 140, 120? Because, you know, it's so expensive, it doesn't seem like it would be something practical that we'd see in the Slayer groupings and stuff. You know, like we don't even see those special shields that came out from the Summer's End quest in Slayer that often. So, you know, I'm basically wondering: do you think that this is going to have an effect down the line of becoming a main type of combat piece of gear that's used for generic PVM? With people in the segment.
Well, if it costs 200 mil plus, then I'm not entirely sure about that, but
I'm not entirely sure who this armor is aimed at. Like, I mean, if you think about it, what good is having 200 LP extra really going to do for you? I couldn't really think of anything that it would be useful for. I mean, even like God Wars Dungeon, yeah, so your max capacity could be higher, but you're still going to eat the same amount of food. So.
And use the same amount of brews and everything else. So, yeah, that's slightly confusing to me. Also, I was surprised by the fact that there's no Zaros Godsword.
Yeah. There's, no melee kind of replacement.
Yeah, no melee weapon. So, what is with that? I don't know.
Just the bow.
Yes, and that's 64 mil right now. So, yeah. And that's Amulus. So.
Is it any good?
Well, that has 120 range bonus.
Yeah, it looks not too bad. Is it fast?
It's the same speed as the crossbow. The team I went to next with last night, a guy was actually using it. It didn't seem to be too impressive, but then again, it's kind of hard to tell. It kind of looks like a crystal ball animation, but a blue arrow instead of greenish crystal bow.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess. I don't know. Is there anything else we have to discuss about the actual God Wars update? Or I don't know. It doesn't seem as though this update was very substantial. You know, it's not like it's going to change the game or anything, you know?
Well, no, I don't think it's going to change the game, but does it have to change the game? I think it's a really good update, just because it's something that finally introduces quite a challenge.
Well, yeah, but
it's sort of worth doing as well. It's not,
yeah, it's worth doing, but
we're not going to forget about it in the near future.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is the armor worth it? Like, if the armor's worth it, is the update worth it? You know, that's basically what I'm wondering.
Well, it costs a lot of money.
You're
still going to get split if you coin share. You're still going to get the money if you loot and sell it.
And then, of course, there's the little things that aren't combat related and have no combat stats, just to show your loyalty to Zaros that you can get from the things in there getting your kill count. You got one of those, right, Eric?
Say that again?
You got one of those things in there, one of the ceremonial tops, was it?
Yeah, it was actually the bottoms.
Okay.
Only the mages in that kill count area will drop them. The warriors or rangers don't drop anything special, nor do the blood readers.
Okay. And they don't even drop dragon boots. That's interesting.
Yeah.
If everything else does, that does kill count. So. All right. So, I don't know. Does anybody have anything else on this, or should we just move on? Or I guess we should do ratings. Eric, what do you rate it?
I think I'll give it a 5. I mean, it's fun to do and poses a challenge. So,
okay.
I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to give it a five as well, even though I'm not going to go to it myself. Yeah, good update.
Okay, I'm going to go with a 4 because I only give fives to things I feel change the game drastically.
That's not fair, is it?
Oh, sure it is.
Fair by Shane's statements. Okay.
Yes. Yep. I don't know, but, you know, have you seen any of these new drops out in the wild, either of you? Like, not in the wilderness per se, but, you know, just out and about in the general world, people wearing them?
I haven't, no. And I've been on quite a bit lately.
The only thing I've seen is the bow that was being used to kill her last night. So. But other than that, not at all.
Alrighty then. So, shall we move on to some tweaks and fixes then? Alrighty. So, you might find the other faction's leaders have cleared their throats as they now feature full voice acting and general improvements to their sound effects.
Oh, that was the other thing. I was going to actually go and see one of the other bosses just to see that, but I never got
around to it. Yeah, me too. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. How does Nex sound?
It's kind of, I don't know, it's nothing too special. She says something every time you get her to the stage to where you can kill the mage. She'll be like, I can't remember exactly what she says, but I don't know. It's nothing too special. I mean, it's nice, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just probably one of the things you get used to in other games, so you don't really notice it in RuneScape.
Yeah.
Oh, I notice everything sound effect based in RuneScape, even if it's MIDI music. Un-MIDI music as it is now.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, you just called it MIDI music. Okay, what else is there?
Adventurers who have completed the love story quest and I wish to travel to East Keldegrim and talk to a dwarf called Runvastr. Runvastr, Runvastr, in the northeast building of the Laughing Miner Inn. If you deliver something from him to the wise old man back in Draenor, you'll earn the ability to chip teleport to House Teletabs to take you to Trollheim instead.
Oh, right.
That could be useful for our farming.
It could, I suppose.
Eric, have you done the love story quest?
I haven't yet.
Oh, you should. That's a good one to do.
Is it?
Yes, just for all the chip Teletabs and stuff. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. The overload's potion wearing off message is now a dark red to make it stand out. This may help while fighting Nex. Oh yeah, that's another thing. Do people use overloads there?
It's a must. I think it's literally impossible to do without overloads, just because just about every attack she does, it's a stat draining. So
okay,
having overloads will help significantly.
So that kind of rules out most of RSB&B then for going.
Yeah, I think so. The new armor could help there in that respect. If you're going to be overloading quite a lot, then...
But it's just boosts to hit points, not other stats.
Yeah, I know, but if you're boosting your stat... Because, you know, you drain 50 HP when you use an overload, right?
Oh, yes,
so
that's right.
If you start with higher, then it's less dangerous when you instantly do that.
Okay.
I don't know. How much you get hit.
Jad has had his magic attack animation prioritized to above his defend animation, making it clear when he's about to use a magic attack.
That's good.
They just keep making him easier and easier, don't they?
That's just a logical thing.
Well, no, it was so hard back in the day, you know, like you couldn't even log out and go to the bathroom halfway through it. You had to do the entire thing in one shot. And you got no warning when the next wave was coming. You know, it's like, I would have had them done the first time if I would have had everything we had now, you know, like. Because the first two of the times I did it, I succumbed to lag, and that was the main problem, and, you know, disconnecting. So, anyways, It's now possible to kick and add a temporary ban to players who are not currently in a clan chat channel. It is also possible to top up a temporary ban by re-kicking a banned player.
Oh, this is good. That's a fantastic update.
Yeah, I know. It's so hard. It was so hard before to manage this kind of thing because the chat mods would have to call somebody in to actually do the actual ban rather than
because
you know people would always leave before you would get a chance to click the kick button and stuff. So we're quite happy about that, aren't we? Seeing as Eric is one of the chat mods in the clan chat. And from this update onwards, broadcast and system update warnings will now appear more clearly both in-game and in the lobby. It now appears in dark red in the chat window in all tabs and bright red in both of the friends and clan chat sections of the lobby. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is it for tweaks and fixes this week. Unless anybody else has any content updates they want to talk about or any other strange things they've noticed this week.
There are the release notes. I just wanted to point out one thing from the release notes, actually, which I got tipped off about this week, but I can't remember who tipped me off about it now. So I'm sorry you don't get a mention, but the Castle Wars viewing orbs will no longer take away a player's Tinder boxes. I found that moderately entertaining. How can something like that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's good that they tell us about these things, in any case. Because I think there are a few other interesting ones in there as well. But
you got this big game engine that is so bound to every little thing, you know, and a change somewhere could have a change somewhere else in the game engine, even if it's not intended in their RuneScript front end, you know. So, you know, I guess that's the kind of thing that's just to be expected with it, but still, it is kind of amusing when that happens.
But tinderboxes, what do they have to do with
it? Too bad it wasn't party hats.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Mm. Anyway.
That would have been more funny, I think. Maybe I just got this idea about a new quest that they could do about some renegade J-mod who would go around causing havoc in the RuneScape world using their mod powers. Like, making kind of weird kind of things happen, you know? Like, oh, I don't know. Bringing around a group of mariachi singers to celebrate to someone, or maybe flinging someone to the far edge of the wilderness when they're in the middle of doing something in their POH, or
What about a quest based on true events? The Felidor Massacre.
Well, that'd be interesting. Fun? But no, I was just thinking about my idea because this. I was thinking they could add some kind of game element like Q, you know? Either of you guys ever heard of Q on Star Trek?
Not me.
No.
Oh. Well, we'll work on you, Eric, in the coming weeks. Your knowledge of that kind of thing. So, anyways, yes. Get involved with the clan community. They say there are over 300,000 players involved in clans, making over 90,000 posts per week on the clan forums. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Then basically, they go on to say that 2011 will be the year of clan updates, and there's never been a better time to get involved. And then from the 17th to the 30th of January, they're hosting the Clan Festival of the Decade to celebrate the best of the clan community. It's an opportunity to represent your clan and prove why they will pwn as well as a chance to get involved in a clan that suits you. So then they go into the events, including meet and greet, last man standing, clan trials, and then more. So I guess if you're interested in clans or you're wanting to get into a clan, this would be a good time for you to get involved. Eric, are you in a clan or anything?
Just RSBNB, if we consider ourselves a clan.
Not officially. Yes. Not officially, well, no. We don't.
But no.
We've
no,
had people
never
try
have.
That before. Chief, are you interested in joining a clan?
No.
Yeah,
I am loyal to RSPB. Also.
Yeah, that's good, because otherwise we'd chop your head off.
Who's we? Aren't I a member of the staff?
Mike and myself.
Okay. I don't think Mike would do that, though. Mike's too kind.
Okay, then I'll chop your head off if you're not loyal to RSPB. It's just like they used to do in the old, in England, you know, if you're not loyal to the monarchy, off with your head.
The guillotine?
Yes. Actually, that was a that was a French invention. I'm surprised you don't know
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do know that. But...
Okay. The final cake down. You know, Jay Ace's puns aren't always the best.
So what is this? This was only a recent thing. I didn't read it.
This is in regards to their birthday celebration and their final run-up of birthday events. So basically they invite you to read the two developer blogs, which I've linked in the notes, which you can find. Also, they want to talk about the t-shirt designs that they have, and they're showing one of the ones that they chose, and it's already in the store. And it's a pretty good design, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know. Would you want to buy one of those?
No.
Me neither.
You wouldn't wear a RuneScape t-shirt?
Oh, wow. It has Arrow on it. It actually has a lot of things on it. If you look, that it's a clever t-shirt, but no, I wouldn't wear that. Definitely not.
Oh, why not?
Not in public.
Oh, jeez, you guys.
Around the house, maybe.
I wouldn't wear it at all.
Why not? What's wrong with it? It could be worse.
Would you wear one?
Yes.
Yes, but you don't see the light of day, so it's fine.
Thanks for that. I do enough. But yes, I would wear one.
Okay. Okay.
So.
I'll buy you one.
Oh, that's so nice of you. But I'd rather you buy it for yourself and then post a picture on the forums wearing it. Why don't you buy one for Eric instead, and then he can do that.
He doesn't want one. We'll pull our money and buy one for you. And then you can
Anyways.
Send us. You don't have to include your head in it or anything. Just
no thanks.
Meanie.
Anyway, so... Let's move on to the developer blogs.
None of us are interested in the final cake down.
Yeah, not really. You know, it's just,
they released the next 6 years now. Sorry, I'm moving on.
Yeah, you know what they forgot out of that? Tell me what they forgot. You guys both.
I haven't read it.
I've skimmed it, but.
On the next 6 years, when they forgot Slayer. In January 2005, yeah.
They remembered farming, though. That's good.
Yes, but they forgot Slayer, which was weird.
It's about Slayer.
Yeah, we do care about Slayer because Slayer revolutionized the way we train combat. Without Slayer, we'd all be camping at Shadow Warriors.
Or Pest Control.
Okay. Pest Control, that works,
oh,
too.
God forbid, Pest Control.
So... Anyways, basically...
Pest Control is one of the things you don't even think about anymore for general combat training.
Yeah, that's true. I think after they nerfed it down, it's not as powerful as it used to be in terms of the XP per hour, so that's a good thing, I guess. Anyways, other highlights of these include RuneFest, Dungeoneering, Wellgothic Sleeps, RuneScape HD, Summoning... Wilderness and Free Trade Removal, December 10th, 2007. I remember doing the show that week. We equated it as using a nuclear bomb for something that should have had a surgical strike used on it. But in reality, I guess we know that the more things change, the more they stay the same, right?
Yeah, I think we've got used to this. Just going to go with that.
So, anybody else have anything you guys want to share about the these two blogs here?
It was kind of interesting just to go back and see what we've gone through.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I like the first one. When did you start playing?
I believe in 06.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, so quite a while ago.
So you're a newbie compared to us.
I guess.
I started in June 2004, and Chief started, well, way back
when.
I'm
just like an elderly... I'm pretty much in a rest home compared to you two.
Well, you started...
That's how bad that is.
Do you know what time in 2001 you started?
No, I don't know what time. It must have been quite late 2001, but I'm not sure, because I have a... Well, a while ago... No, what am I thinking? I don't know. On one of my accounts, anyway, one of my newbie accounts, I've got recovery questions last set in February 2002, I think. So that's like the oldest record I have. But given that it's not my main account, I can estimate that obviously I came sometime before that. So yeah, I'm not really sure, but I don't remember some of the earlier things that happened. So it kind of
launch of Asgarnia.
You know,
April 6, 2001.
After that, obviously.
Apparently, they had a fence so people could see what the new area was going to look like, and then you couldn't go in there until
that
it was released.
I just remember it being there. That's all. So,
yeah, you know, they should do more stuff like that, more teases like that. Put the area in, then put a fence there. You know, like they did with Dungeoneering, and then like they did with Castle Wars and
cool
the Slayer
Tower.
It would
be very cool if they did that with Priftiness, the Elven lands.
Yeah, you kind of have that now, but you can't really see that far into it, you know?
Yeah. Or just, other places like that.
I wouldn't mind seeing something about that in 2011. But anyways, everybody should go read up on the history of RuneScape, because it's a part of the game you play, and, you know, well, you really do need to go back into the history to appreciate the game for what we see it as, because... We see it as something completely different to what everybody else who sees it as, who started playing in the last year or last 2 years or maybe even last 3 years. So please do take a read through that history.
Have you guys took a look at the RuneScape 2 fact sheet that was posted on the forums not too long ago?
I saw that, but I didn't actually read it.
I skimmed it, but it was late and it was too long, so I didn't get through it.
It's quite interesting. It's kind of cool to see all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even really skim it myself, but I saw a few things, just, you know, a couple of points here and there that looked interesting. So I imagine if I had bothered to read the whole thing.
The link will be in the notes to that, rspnb.com/forums.
What kind of accent was that supposed to be?
I don't know. But anyways, link is in the notes. From the postbag with love. Next month is February, and you know what holiday or day is in February? Anybody?
Valentine's Day.
Yes, kind of a stupid excuse for a holiday, saying that every day should be like that, but whatever. So they want your postbag entries about that kind of theme, so that's basically what they're suggesting you do here. Send a message to postbag@jkix.com. Example they give from Rance to his beloved Chompy. Squashed Humans is red, Chinchompas is brown, belly go rumbly when smell you around. You look so tasty when boiling in brine. Can Rance please ask you to be Valentine? And this was posted by Mod Turtle of Community Management.
Mod Turtle. Never heard of him before.
I know. Anyways, so if you've always wanted to ask a question to one of your RuneScape NPCs that you love, you might as well send that in to the postbag. postbag@jagex.com. Now, today we're recording this on the 14th. The RuneScape referendum on the wilderness and free trade has closed with a grand total of 1,234,658 votes.
That's not really too many more than we expected. I mean, it kind of just dropped off after a million.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, the percentages are 91 yes, 7% no, 2% don't mind. Now, basically they say they're going to take some time to think about it, and they will be making an official announcement on the 17th, which is Monday. So if you're listening to this next week, you'll probably heard that by now, so you can kind of get a better idea of what's going to happen with this, but I don't know. Chief, would you... Go ahead.
Have they hinted as to when they're going to release it?
No, they haven't. They haven't, but I imagine, you know, it just seemed a little too well planned, you know. I'd imagine it's already in the works.
Right.
So I'd say February, March-ish, probably. But what'd you vote, Eric?
I voted no.
Okay.
Oh, you did. That's interesting.
Chief?
Why was that?
I don't know. I have never been really a big PK, and I think things are good the way they are now. And then saying how they're going to keep the GE but implement it differently, saying that they're going to just take the limits off, it just worries me. I don't know how it's going to work.
See, that's what I was thinking, Shane. You don't understand where I'm coming from. Eric understands.
I understand now, too, actually. I talk to people about this same thing in RuneScape as well. I see where both of you guys are coming from. I see where that view comes from, you know? But carry on.
Yeah, I never actually voted at all myself, because I wasn't really sure. It just worries me, too. I don't really know what else to say. I would like to say that I could, you know, that free trade would be a good thing, and it would be good in a lot of respects. But
well, good, you're not a commie.
No, I just can't see the Grand Exchange functioning properly without it.
And imagine all the flippers. I mean, as easy as it is to flip now, like, well, how, I just, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
You know, the only thing I'm scared of is something Mike and I both agreed would be bad, would be dual economies created. You have the GE economy and you have the regular, unrestricted, completely different economy where, like, done through trades. In order for this to work, trades would need to be taken account on the GE for the GE value. That had better happen, because if that does not happen, we're going to be worse off than we are right now. And if not, then oh my god, that's going to be horrible. But
how can they really do that, though? Because I mean, I know what you mean. That would be good. Yeah, they should probably do that. But I'm just not sure, because there will be people who trade things to their friends for nothing. Because it will be.
Well, then that has to take into account as well. If it's something everybody's trading to their friends for nothing, is that item really worth whatever the GE says it's worth? It should be worth what the people trading it on RuneScape say it's worth.
I still don't know, though. I just can't see that working.
Yeah, you know, like...
And therefore, if that doesn't work, then how can the Grand Exchange work?
If the Grand Exchange doesn't work, you're going to get a Grand Exchange that...
Although it should, though.
Be short of selective items, you know, which would be a problem. So
it should, though. I mean, if you can't buy something off the Grand Exchange, then you're probably not going to be able to buy them straight from players either, because the
that's the way rares are traded.
Yeah, that's the way they're traded now. But you see, they won't have to be traded that way with a free market. See, now you're sort of arguing against it. There are ups and downs.
I know, there are. I mean, we don't have enough info still. Like, in hindsight, I should have probably voted no on this. So, because just the idea that we don't know what's going to happen with the dual economies and stuff, it's not enough info. But clearly, 91% and 1.2 million votes... That's probably more than enough to say a solid yes, but I don't know how many subscribers they have. So that would be interesting to see, but we'd just have to wait and see until Monday, I guess. I don't know. Interesting times, scary times. Probably scary, I'd say. Anyways.
Definitely.
Like, it's just a scary idea of what can happen if this isn't handled properly. And, you know, right now, things are decent. Things are stable. That is kind of maybe the way things should go. I don't know. But anyways, shall we move on to questions if either of you guys don't have anything else?
I think we've reached more or less a consensus. So.
Alrighty then. Questions. First one is an audio question from Defy All Odds.
We never previewed these, I just realized. That's fine.
Oops. Well.
This'll be fun.
Dearest host of RSBNB, Defy All Odds here as always. My question for this week is, I was recently listening to your guys' clip show, since I always put on the podcast when I'm going to bed so I can hear it and fall asleep to it. And there was a question in there. There was a clip in there. It was either one of the questions by Earth or Uncle Dino, and you guys mentioned something about him being normal. And that brought me, it made me think about my outlook on life and my way to view as normal. My question to you for you guys is, what do you think is normal? Because according to me, Defy, I think it's normal to be weird and weird to be normal. But that's just me. So what do you guys think is normal? All right, Defy All Odds out.
I don't know. I think
that's kind of a hard question to answer.
Normal is anything that it does not fit in with the norms of society, i.e. the majority. That's the way I define it.
Yeah, okay. I'd have to agree with that.
So that's your definition, but then so do you? Okay, so let's use Earth as an example. Not sure where this is going to go. So do we consider Earth
let's
to fit in with
the norms? Let's just put Earth on the table here and let's see.
Yeah, does Earth fit in with the norms of society?
Technically, yes. Technically, yes. Okay. But his questions are not normal.
No, I suppose they're not, are they? No. Yeah.
But his question this week is normal, so I don't know. I guess he is normal then.
let's skip to Earth's question, and then we'll come back to this one. No, I don't know. What do we consider to be normal?
Do you have any abnormal friends, Chief?
Well, it depends. Yeah, normal is difficult to define because I feel that I probably am abnormal in the sense that I'm different from everyone else whom I know. So, but then, what is normal? It's quite arbitrary, really.
Normal is what everybody else is.
Defy all odds. But yeah, but no one is the same, so.
No, I mean, as a general whole, like if you were to take an average of everybody, you know, and you
mainstream?
Were to. Yes, the mainstream. That is what normal is.
Okay. I think then we should probably use. But mainstream is not necessarily good.
Well, that's true. It depends I will admit that mainstream is not good. Because I don't like where the mainstream society is going right now. I don't know. Eric, do you have any thoughts?
Not really. I don't know. I don't know how you can explain normal. I think what you said, saying that the majority of the people are people who don't fit in would be abnormal. So.
Okay. That works for me. Chief, you just answered the question for all of us.
Don't mind if I do.
Yeah, so basically anybody who doesn't fit within, anybody who is not abnormal is normal. And abnormal is often easier to find than normal. Well, yeah, it makes sense, you know. If you, like, if you find somebody who climbs walls,
yes,
and
it does.
Climbs walls and climbs in windows and stuff, and then does so that to, as entry into your house, and that's abnormal, you know. And then, say, for example, somebody who uses a front door, that'd be normal because that's what everybody else does. Or say someone who is 12 years old and likes smoking, that's abnormal because most 12-year-olds don't smoke.
Who are you thinking of now?
I don't know. You know who the first one I was thinking of, though, right?
Yes, so I just figured that you would be thinking of someone else now. Okay.
No. Anyways, thank you, Defile Odds. We done with that one?
I think so.
The next one is from Uncle Dano.
Uncle Dano. Dano is,
yes, we like his questions.
The 14th of Rintra in the year 169 of the 5th Age. The 14th of January in the year of our Lord, 2011. The world of Gelinor is on the brink of an epic retransformation. The inhabitants of RuneScape anxiously await trade and wilderness hearkening back to the days of lore. Greetings, my lord Shane and Chief Snake. If free trade in the old wilderness were to return, I, for one, would look forward to once again being able to help newcomers to the game by giving them free armor, weapons, and food. This is something I thoroughly enjoyed before the existence of trade limits. I'd be very interested in hearing one thing that you gentlemen would look forward to, that you miss from the glory days of RuneScape. Thank you very much, gracious hosts, for taking my audio question. And as always, I wish you Godspeed and another fine day in the scape to you all. Sincerely, Uncle Dano.
His questions are always great, aren't they?
That was amazingly well done.
It was amazing.
Can I go first?
Yep, please do.
I think the thing I would most be happy about is the ability to spread the great skill known as farming easier, and also be able to get quick loans from friends if I need a bit of money in a pinch.
Yeah, don't come crawling to me, Shane.
Your guys' turn now.
I'm looking forward to getting rid of all this junk trading.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Either except that or then, just, you know, go ahead.
Except then, your items will actually be junk.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah, that's a good point.
As long as you don't
better
have
get
any
rid of them now. So junk trading, anything else?
Giving gifts, I guess, even though I wasn't a big gift giver, but I think that's always a good thing to have.
Yeah, you know, we haven't been able to do RSBNB Christmas properly ever since then, because at Christmas we always used to do a staff gathering where we would give gifts to each other, so it would be nice to have that back. Another thing that would
except,
also be nice
except for the fact that none of the people on the staff actually play RuneScape anymore.
They didn't back then. Well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, even the ability to do drop parties, because Mike and I used to do these drop parties. We used to do them once or twice a year, actual drop parties. We used to buy most of the items, and community members were free to give donations. And then we would do a big drop party somewhere, and, yeah, that was nice, those kind of drop parties. So that'd be nice to have back. Chief?
Yeah, I don't really have anything more to add to that, I guess. I suppose one of the things I missed was being able to lend things to other people, or, just even small things like giving people potions that you can't really do. Well, you can, kind of, because they've increased the limits for friends. Actually, yeah, that kind of just does work now. But, yeah, just, yeah, the freedom of being able to lend friends anything. Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. So that's probably what we're all looking forward to the most. So thank you, Uncle Dano, for that nice question.
I can just imagine Uncle Dano being the one to give free things to new players. That seems like something
That's a great thing to do. Schwa had an event like that back in November, and it would have worked had there not have been the trade limits and free to play. Well, it did work because, you know, the limit is decent for free to play, but it would have worked better if we would have had no limits.
Mm. I have fond memories of doing that, actually, you know, ages ago, just for the hell of it, because I had nothing better to do. I wouldn't do it nowadays, just because it's too much effort, but...
Yes. Alrighty. Moving on now to Earth's question, which is normal, which leads us to conclude that Earth is normal.
That's good.
Hello, Shane and Sheepsnake. I was just wondering what you guys' favorite part about astronomy was. I love all of it, but find stuff like nebulas really, really interesting. What about you guys? Love Earth.
So astronomy.
Little suck up.
What, you don't like astronomy?
No, I'm not that interested.
Eric, what about you?
No, I can honestly say I don't know.
Oh, jeez. You're right, he is just sucking up. Anyways.
But you can answer this.
Yeah, you know, I guess what the most amazing thing is that when you look up in the sky and you see a star, that looks like that light is right there. But in reality, that light was emitted 2,400, 10,000 years ago, depending on how far you look back. You know, in the southern sky, winter sky in North America, if you look up, you'll see the biggest, brightest object in the sky aside from the moon, Sirius, which is a binary pulsar, which is a very bright star. So basically, that light from that star, if I remember correctly, is either 46 or 460 light years away. So you're looking at light that was emitted 460 years ago. That's not... Yeah, see? That's interesting, isn't it?
Well, I just wanted to give you a reaction, really.
So oh, okay.
Well, yeah, it is interesting, yeah.
Sirius, brightest star with an apparent magnitude of -1.46. Let's see, where is the age? No, let's see. We are looking for the distance from Earth. You know, there's a great iPad application that lets you pull this stuff up rather quickly. It's called Starwalk. You basically enter in your location and it'll show you what's in your,
it's not your pick neighbor, this what's week, in your neighborhood.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to have. Where is it? I don't know. I can't find the light years. Anyways, other interesting things, I guess, are the formation of solar systems and planets. Because basically, the formation of a solar system and planet starts from a big cloud of gas, i.e. the nebula, and then slowly condenses down, forms a star, and then things start basically coalescing into planetesimals and then planets, and then you get what we have right here in this neighborhood. So I think I'm putting Eric and Chief to sleep here. So,
what?
I don't know. Yeah, see?
There you go.
I don't know. Supernovas are also interesting because, you know, they're the exploded stars that were heavy. Basically, if a star is heavy enough, it will explode, and that's what creates a nebula. And multiple nebulas can join together and create a star. So, I don't know. Earth, if you want to talk about astronomy, you might as well PM me, and we can arrange a more convenient method for this. So, thank you, Earth, for that question.
I'd be interested in knowing why he wanted to know about astronomy. I mean, whether it's an interest or, say, a school thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Or as you said, if he just wants to... if he just did that as a way to suck.
Just to suck. No, he probably didn't. I'm just being mean.
Alrighty. Our last audio question this week is from Papero.
Hey guys, My question for you this week is, how do you feel on President Obama's decision to remove the Constellation program in NASA? I mean, this program was going to colonize the moon and possibly Mars, but nope, we don't have enough money. And why don't we have enough money? Well, I'm certain you can figure that one out on your own. Thanks and keep up the good work. Bye.
Another question about that kind of thing.
Right, well, I'm from New Zealand here, so I'm just going to sit this one out.
Okay, 8.5 light years is how far Sirius was, so the light you see from there was sent out 8.5 years ago. I forget what was 40 then, but anyways. So you're going to sit this one out, but I don't know. Eric, what do you think?
I'll sit it out too. I don't know what
to
about.
God, you guys need to brush up on your space mechanics or whatever it should be called. But anyways, I do think that the cancellation of that program was a mistake because, you know, there are other up-and-coming powers, i.e. China and India, who are going to be pressing ahead in this area. And is it right for the biggest Western superpower to cede the leadership in space to a country that isn't as important and isn't as developed as the U.S., i.e. China or India? I don't know. I don't think so. So I really think that that was a mistake in doing that. And also, I think it serves the general interest as humankind that that kind of thing should be focused on, because what happens in the event of there's ever an asteroid that we're not able to deflect, you know? What happens? There needs to be some sort of plan for the continuation of the human race. So there needs to be development in this area. And, you know, even if it is a waste of money, you know, I'm sure they could have found the money from somewhere else. Seeing as it's such a small drop in the bucket compared to some other things, such as, oh, I don't know, the healthcare plan that didn't really bring universal healthcare.
So you mean like finding the money from China, say?
No, I'm talking about finding the money from cutting other programs in the U.S. government, like the health program that isn't going to really bring universal healthcare.
I suppose so.
Yes.
But wasn't that... Didn't you want that?
Well, yeah, you know, you want universal healthcare, but you don't want a program that's going to cost so much that isn't universal, you know? It got watered down so much throughout the process that that there's no point in it anymore, in my view, you know?
Oh, my God. Okay.
Eric, what do you think about the healthcare program of his?
I think it's a waste. Yeah.
Would you be in favor of universal healthcare if it didn't? If it wasn't watered down along the way?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, see,
not my big subject, but I think that would be beneficial. But.
Yeah, see, but it didn't do what it did, so that money could have been put towards the moon program, you know? So.
Okay, perhaps. But, yeah, I just get the impression that, from you at least, you were so in favor of this to start with, it just sounds slightly hypocritical that you're not now that it actually has been, or at least Obama has tried his best, I assume, to put it into place, and now that it's gone wrong, you don't want to support him?
Well, yeah, because it's not fully universal.
Yeah, but he's done what he can, and it seems like he's getting the blame for something.
And therefore it's now a waste of money. I'm not blaming him.
Anyway.
I'm blaming the ineffective system known as the U.S. government.
Okay, if you say so. I don't know American politics. I don't really care at all.
I will say that the Westminster model, which both Canada and New Zealand follow, is more efficient. Even though it may be prone to overthrow from some obsessive monarchist, but, you know, that's not likely to happen. All the checks and balances are a waste of time in the U.S. system. Maybe this is what that guy meant last week about banging on the U.S. I don't know, but anyways, let's move on. First question, Chief, you want to read it?
Okie dokie. Dear Shane and Chief and Eric, I recently got orange juice on my keyboard and a few of the keys are a little sticky. Is there any way for me to fix this, or do I need to take it to an Apple store? Thanks, Optimaniac. So, I'm confused. I'm going to assume that this is a MacBook of some type.
Oh, probably.
Because it would be a bit strange if it was just a regular keyboard or not an Apple product at all. So, what would you suggest? Yes, because both of you are Mac people. So.
The keys are removable, aren't they, on the MacBooks?
They are, but, you know, there are certain keys you don't want to remove, like the big ones, like the caps lock key or the enter key or the delete key or the space bar.
Whoops.
You don't want to remove those keys. You can remove the other ones, but you'll want to be extremely careful with that. And you'll want to do it when the computer is off. And if you can, even though it's off, use some sort of non-conductive solution to clean it. Because you don't want to have it, and you don't want to fry your keyboard. Because if you fry your keyboard, you basically would need to go in and have that paid to be replaced. You know, we could say if it was an actual keyboard, just run it through the dishwasher, but you really don't want to do that with a laptop. So,
I dare you to try it.
No, you really wouldn't want to do that, I don't think.
No.
So try and clean it yourself first. Clean each key, but be careful. You don't want to take off the bigger keys that are bigger than a regular-sized key, I've found, because... Ooh. It's very hard to get them back on, and they're plastic, and they can snap really easily. So, that's my only tip. Eric, you got any other tips?
I don't think so. I think if you are going to remove the keys, like you said, to be careful. Make sure the power is off.
Yes.
Or just take it into the Apple Store. They're kind. They'll help you out.
Yeah, you know, I wonder how much a new keyboard would cost on a laptop, though.
Yeah.
Any ideas on that?
Not sure. I took my MacBook in over the summer and got a whole new top case. So where the keyboard is, that whole case, so the mouse pad and the clicker and a new keyboard. I got it for free because it was under AppleCare, but I want to say it was $400, even though that seems crazy high. But
yeah, that sounds about right. Because last year, whenever I had the Logic Board replaced, and that was over $1,000. So buy AppleCare if you've got a Mac portable or an iMac or something like that. It's a good investment.
Even if we don't have Apple stores in New Zealand.
Alrighty. Oh, yes, you'd have to send yours away then if you were in New Zealand and you didn't have an Apple store. Oh, that's so painful.
At all.
Anyways.
Not even, you know, in the big place.
This next one is from Lord Passchendaele. Dear hosts, I have three questions this week. Numero one, I've recently gotten level 68 or above in attack, strength, defense, constitution, woodcutting, and magic. Which skill do you recommend I get to level 60 next? Not farming. I was thinking about fishing because I already have it at level 51.
Are you sure about that? I would recommend farming.
Me too. It's such a great skill once you get the hang of it. But
Slayer
anyways.
Sounds good, except...
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Hang on, I was going to... Fast Wisley, I'll just look that up. It might... Yeah, Slayer might take some time if he's only 60 stats. Yeah, Slayer is not ranked at the moment.
But it's a fun Slayer skill to do.
Ooh,
the only reason I quit Slayer was because of the crappy drops.
They're not that bad.
Really?
Maybe it's just your luck. I don't know. Well,
yeah, just my luck, right?
I made tons getting 99.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, 13 tasks, 2 clues, crappy clues, no I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, but you wore out your luck. You got third age plate legs.
No, that was a special case. I was going in to get my wisdom teeth removed. They wanted to reward me for that.
So
I need to go
get
some more teeth removed. I know. Anyways. Yeah, but fire making, as Chief said, that's already 57, so do that. Or fishing.
I find that fishing takes forever, personally, but if you want to, then...
Yeah, you know, I found the same thing with fishing, too. Another good skill you might want to raise, now that members have added benefits, is agility.
You know, but, I mean, all the way to 60 is quite painful if you're just a regular user, but...
I guess, but I did 99.
But you're not a regular user, are you?
So I'm abnormal. Oh, no.
Yep. But there's nothing wrong with being weird.
Okay, so Eric's choice, Slayer?
Yes.
Chief?
Fire making.
Okay. And I'm going to go with agility. So there you go. There's some choices to work on. Number two, do any of you watch American football, not soccer? I do. I live in California, and my favorite team is the Seattle Seahawks, and they recently made it to the playoffs and beat last year's Super Bowl champions, the New Orleans Saints. No, I do not. Chief?
That's nice. No, I don't.
Eric?
I'm afraid?
I do every now and then. I'm actually 20 miles south of Seattle, so having the Seahawks go into the playoffs is actually... big deal around here, so I've been watching them, but other than the Seahawks, not really.
Okay. Number three,
yeah,
I was thinking about...
We don't get any kind of coverage of that. So.
Do you get any NHL hockey coverage there?
Nope. Nothing at all.
Oh my.
I'm not sure if we would even get it on like the dedicated sports channels either. Probably not.
I was thinking about doing the Plague City quest. Do you think it is worth it, and why? Thanks again. Fast Wesley, real RS name. Yes, absolutely do that quest. It opens up the entire Elven storyline, and that is one of my favorites.
Ooh, yeah, I agree. For the same reason, just because it opens up all those possibilities. It's like the first one.
That's the quest that allows you to teleport to our... Goni or whatever, however you
say. Oh, it is too, isn't it? Yeah.
I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely will help.
Yeah.
Or is that Biohazard that lets you do that? I always
get
the two mixed up, which one came first.
You need to do Biohazard, so.
Yes, so go right ahead and do that. It's a good quest, and Underground Pass is also a fun quest. So is Regicide. So is Morning's End Part 1 and 2, right, Chief?
Yes, but you can find... You can... Look into those a little bit later. Just for now, stick to Plague City.
Okie dokie. Next question. Eric, you want to read it?
Sure. Dear Shane Chief and Eric, I've been a member for 2 months now, but really been procrastinating on quests. Just doing the basic ones to gain abilities to teleport to a place or unlock a Slayer Master. What quests do you will are essential for me to do for gameplay, minus those really basic ones for a skill or teleport, which are already done? Thanks. Canucks 1.
Canucks 1. You don't know what a Canuck is, and you live 2 hours from Canada?
No. Never heard of it.
Wow. Okay. But anyways, the quests... I'm going to take a page from the last one and say that Plague City is an important quest as it unlocks the Elven storyline and the teleport to Hardoian. Also the Watchtower quest, which does that as well, even though it's overlooked. I haven't been to Yanil in ages, so
that might as well
be a good one as well. Legends is a good quest to do. Well, not right away, but, you know, work up to it. That was the benchmark back in the day of what was good, 107 quest points. And what else is there for good quests that you should
do? Recipe for Disaster.
Oh, yeah, that's another one you can work up to.
Oh, do that one as well.
Enlightened Journey, I must suggest everybody do that quest.
No, but you don't really need that. I mean, that's
yes, you do.
Somehow. I mean,
yes,
sometimes.
You do. It's actually the
Enlightened
quest.
Journey is handy for devious minds. That's the only quest I've found it helpful with, because you go back and forwards from one place to another. And I know that because I did that quest a couple of days ago.
But it's the Captain Picard quest. You can't turn that quest down.
Yeah, but you can't say it's useful.
Yeah, it is. It is in
for
my
gameplay.
View.
Gameplay.
Yes. It is an important element in the story.
Okay, well,
a transportation
we
network,
will leave
the
you
balloon.
To make your own decision for that one, but... for me, I would say... Death Plateau and Troll Stronghold are good ones, because you can, after those ones, you can teleport to Troll Stronghold. And that kind of storyline is a good one to follow. What else is there?
Lunar Series?
Oh, yeah, that's good, what? If you want to do magic in that way.
Yeah. Oh, right.
There's also the one that unlocks the Eastern Lands. I forget what it's called.
Underground Pass?
No. Eastern. The one that unlocks Mauritania and Caniphus.
Oh, okay.
Recent Peril?
Yes, that's it.
That
one's good because you get access to the Slayer Tower.
Did you say Desert Treasure?
Yeah, that's a good one. Another one you want to work up to, but I think one of the essential ones everybody should do to get that spell book and kind of get up into what's happening in that storyline. Anybody else have any quests? I can't think of any more.
Nope.
That's kind of everything off the top of my head.
Alrighty then. The next... question is from somebody named Mr. Sherdo, and he says, "Dear the most benevolent and magnanimous Shane and Chief Snake and Eric, after 99 fishing off Rocktails, I have calculated that I will make around 50 mil. What should I do with this heap of cash? I was thinking about merching it and making profit, or going for another skill like 99 construction or smithing with the sacred clay hammers. Thanks for the show, Mr. Sherdo." You could go farming.
You can blow 50 mil pretty quickly if you're doing that. As we
found. That would last for half a month or so doing double magic and palms. So. But if I had that kind of money in reality at this stage, I would probably buy combat gear and go do Slayer, even though I say I hate it and everything, but I don't know, there's just always something about doing Slayer. It makes me feel good for some reason. I don't know why, even though it's annoying with all the tasks. So, what would you guys do?
I would normally recommend for him to go learn how to flip, but with the free trade coming out relatively soon, well, hopefully, I'm not sure if that would be so beneficial.
Yeah, you have done lots of flipping, haven't you?
Yes, too much.
Basically, that involves going to the GE as it is right now and buying an item for below market price and selling it back in significant quantities for above market price. That's a good one-sentence description, I imagine.
Pretty much. Generally, you want to buy and sell within the same update. That's the main key.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a lot to learn.
Yes. Okay. Chief?
Yeah, probably do some flipping while you've got time before the free trade. But apart from that, Slayer gear is always nice. So, I don't know, maybe buy yourself a Saradom and Goldsword while they're low. If they haven't already risen, I can't remember. Hmm. Yeah, another 99 you could probably get to, like construction or smithing. If you wanted them, then sure, that would be a good option.
Yeah, that's the thing. Go for what you want. Don't go for what we tell you because, well, that's what we would do. And, you know, we're not you and we don't know how you feel about that kind of thing. So.
Well, obviously he's keen to put in the effort because, I mean, 99 fishing by Roptails is quite a lot to begin with. It is only, I mean, depending on how much money you will have besides the 50 mil, it would be good to be able to keep some of that, keep as much as you can, really. So,
yeah, flipping, it's always good to have a
merchant for as long
cushion,
as
you know?
Yeah. And then spend.
Alrighty, thank you, Mr. Sherdo. Chief, you want to take the last question?
Okie dokie. Dear Shane Chief and possible mystery guest Eric, when do you guys believe that a death penalty should be issued to someone, if you believe in it at all? Also, if you were told you had a week to live, what would you do in that week? Money is not really a factor. Enjoy from Mage Guy 08. Death penalty? Yes, no?
It depends on... It depends on two factors. First one, what are the life sentences like in your country as they are right now? So it depends. If a life sentence is life, i.e. 60 years plus, then that's fine. I don't see a need for a death penalty. But if life sentence means 25 years only, then yes, I would be for a death penalty. And as to when it should be invoked, I think... it should be an option for cases of murder, rape, treason, and that's probably about it.
Yeah, rape and murder, I think, should both deserve a death penalty, regardless of what it is. That's just not right.
Yeah, you kill someone, you should get a punishment equal to it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not really humane to rape someone, so just do the next most humane thing, which would be putting them to death, so. Chief?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't completely agree with that, because I don't believe in the death penalty. I don't think it's necessary. I can see where both of you are coming from, obviously, because they're shocking crimes, and no one should ever have to suffer for what someone else does like that. But...
Yeah, you know, in cases of murder, I guess, when a police officer sees someone murder someone, the police officer should just have the right to kill that person right there, save the system some money, you know?
Maybe. I'm really not sure because, yeah, either way, we're going to have to pay for them in prison.
Yeah, that's right. And... You know, that's what I was saying. Like I was saying, 70 years in prison alone, that would be more of a punishment than just getting the easy way out. But if it's only 25 years, I don't see the point in that, you know? That's where I come from on that.
I think 25 years is quite a lot, no matter who you are.
Yeah, but it's not life.
No, it's not life, but I don't think we're really going to see any repeat offences after that long. I mean, it hasn't really been a problem, and so I don't see it being a problem in the future. I don't see why people worry about that kind of thing, but, yeah, who knows? Maybe if I had something like that happen to a family member or something, then I would...
Yeah, you'd probably feel different about that, you know? That's, like, just the thing, you know? If something like that happened to a family member here, I would have no problem in doing something like that on the same level to them just because, well, the fact is there's no death penalty, right? And if that person's going to get out in 15 years on parole, that's nothing. That's a slap on the wrist.
Well, it's still a long time. It's still a long time, though.
Yeah, but it's not life. It should be equal to your crime that you commit.
I don't think it really would make that much of a difference. That's all I'm saying.
I think it would. You're just too soft. That's all.
Okay, if you say so.
Anyways.
But you're spending our money if you keep them in there.
I know, that's why you should just kill them.
But it's not humane to kill them, so...
Yeah, it is. They don't feel anything. It's just like going to sleep. We do it to dogs all the time.
Yeah,
and cats.
But... Especially after murder or rape. Should make it that much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, if you were told you had a...
kind of punishment? Not the easy way out?
Well, no. I mean, yeah, it's some kind of punishment, but the easy way out... I'm just saying that... In terms of a life sentence here, it's not a life sentence. That's the reason why I am for a death penalty. If a life sentence was 100 or 120 years, I would have no problem with that. That's my only reason for wanting a death penalty.
Well, I don't really know. I'm kind of undecided.
Okay. What about the next one? If you were told you had a week to live, what would you do in that week? Money is not an object.
Go skydiving.
Okay. That's a good one. You serious on that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's always been something that I've wanted to try, so money
okay.
wasn't an issue. Sure, why not?
Yeah, I'd probably do the same thing as well. Chief, you got anything?
Skydiving would be good, yes, and bungee jumping.
Okay. Anything else?
I might go visit my friends in Canada.
That'd be good.
Yeah, money is an issue.
But can you really do that in a week?
Sure.
Okay. I'll go with that then. I'll say the same thing as well. But I think one other... No, in other countries, like you. But... another thing I was thinking of is what about making sure your affairs are in order for after you depart? Or making sure that like everything is attended to properly.
I don't think I would really consider that much because after I was to pass, I wouldn't really care.
Oh yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. I guess so.
My offspring or... Whoever would want to handle that could handle it. I'd just stay out of it.
Yeah, but would you
be
rather
a lot of documentation that would require signing?
Yeah, but would you rather they put you in the ocean or put you up on a shelf? Your ashes.
I don't care.
Really?
They can do what they want.
Okay, so they could use you for fertilizer in the backyard or something like that if they wanted to.
If they wanted to.
Not that that's a good
sure.
thing to do, but. Okay. Alrighty then.
But I trust that they would do the right thing anyway. Whatever
yeah,
that
that's
right
true.
Thing might be.
Alrighty. Do we have anything else on this one? Anyone?
Nope.
Chief?
No.
Alrighty. Remember, you can send your audio questions to questions@rsbnb.com or phone them in to the voice number, which is 571-572-2632 or 571-57-BNB. I figured I'd say that this week just because so we don't have any question about what the number is, right, Chief?
Yeah, that's always good.
Alrighty, moving on to tech news now. So, iPhone 4 this week was announced on Verizon February 10th for $199. Apparently plans for this began in 2008. They spent a year testing the iPhone on Verizon's network, and then they also made sure that Verizon systems would be able to cope with the enhanced load of all the new iPhones coming onto the system. And with this, the new handset also includes a redesigned antenna and frame that was shown in photos and videos that leaked on the internet earlier this month. So.
Oh, okay. You know, a redesigned antenna and frame. Why?
Yeah, I wonder why, up? Hey? I wonder why. I wonder why. You know, you wonder if they're going to do the same thing for the AT&T iPhone as well, whether they're going to redesign the antenna on that after the problem that surfaced earlier, but I don't know. I found this funny. It's kind of funny seeing as that the iPhone started in the U.S., but they're the last ones to actually get it on multiple networks, whereas here it was on all three major networks from the very beginning. So
yeah, it's unlocked New Zealand even.
Yeah, so we're U.S. is kind of behind on that, which is kind of weird. But anyways, Eric, what do you think of this? I know you have an iPhone.
I don't know. I think it's a good idea in the big picture, but going to be running around school, and I think everyone's going to be having an iPhone, so won't be as much as a. I don't know. It won't be as nice to be the only one with an iPhone anymore, since everyone will be.
Really? Sure. Can everyone afford those?
Oh yeah,
well,
they're everywhere here.
Aren't bad.
Yeah, they're everywhere here. Which they're even less in the US.
$199 is very cheap,
so.
But I mean, what is the price of like the plan, whatever they come with?
I'm not sure. I don't know
what the US plans are.
Between my family plan with my parents, it's $80 a month. I want to believe. I'm not sure.
So that covers your whole family.
Right, it covers everything with data and texting. And
oh my god, wow. That's amazing! That's amazing. Ours is $130 a month for four phones, and that doesn't include any data or texting.
Yes. And I think that's over 1,000 minutes too. So.
Oh my god, ours is only 300 minutes.
What? See, we don't really have anything like that in New Zealand. We don't have plans that cover multiple people, multiple handsets. We just have single user plans, if plans at all, and no one uses them. Maybe business people would spend that much money, but you know, a single person plan could easily be about $80. And I don't know, that's the reason why no one uses them. They can avoid them. So the rest of us we don't call anyone, and we just have texting prepaid plans, which are like $10 a month, and text people because it's a lot easier, cheaper. So yeah, it's not worth it. And data is expensive as well.
Yes, it is here too. So, Eric, you haven't had any problems with AT&T's network like they apparently do in other big cities?
Not at all. I've never had any issues whatsoever.
Oh, that's good then. I think ultimately, if you can have a GSM provider, that's the way to go for a phone rather than a CDMA. So, because it's international, GSM is an international standard. So, I guess that's the best way to go on that. But, anyways, let us move on so people can go out there and rejoice about iPhones and whatnot if they don't already have an Android phone. Or something else like that. Next up, Google plans to remove H.264 support from Chrome.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, yeah, a bit of a background here for anybody who doesn't know. In Google Chrome, HTML5 is supported through the video tag, and in that, Google currently supports the H.264 video codec, which is the video codec that Apple Safari uses and Internet Explorer uses for HTML5 video. So Google is removing H.264 support because it is essentially a closed platform and not an open platform like their other ones, which are right now Ogg Theora and WebM. So basically, they're doing this in order to make Google Chrome fully open source, which I can understand, but really, it's not. I don't see the point of that, really, when H.264 is the superior codec.
Maybe. But when you look at this, yeah, actually. But they are supporting Firefox in this, which is an interesting move because now that
yeah they are because Firefox is
with
using
Chrome
the same
and Firefox both using it, they can't really go too far wrong.
Yeah, so you know it's interesting in that perspective. But HTML5 was supposed to be something that you didn't need plugins to view video. Now, if you want to view something in H.264, you're going to need a plugin for Firefox and Chrome.
Yeah, but no one's going to be using it if Firefox and Chrome are both, you know, they're the main thing, the main contenders now. So if the two main things don't have that support.
Yeah, but what about Apple and Microsoft?
They're not going to have, you know, videos in that format on the web because they're intelligent enough not to put them in that format.
I don't know. I think we're only going to see the major
Microsoft
players like...
Because Microsoft's just retarded, but, you know...
I don't know. I think that YouTube will definitely support the new format. They already do. Other video sites might, but I don't think you're going to see people like Apple or private publishers budging on using H.264 because H.264 is so simple. You just make one version, and that's your HTML5 version and your distribution format, right?
Yes, but if it doesn't work on all platforms, then they're not going to reach the...
But it'll work on IE. But you can install a plugin in Chrome and Firefox.
I suppose if you can install the plugin, but
still, I don't know.
It's not going to be a foolproof thing, though, and if they do use this format, then it will be. So
exactly. It's not going to be a foolproof thing, and that's the problem with how HTML5 is shaping out with this, you know? It's annoying.
Which is why the developers will use the thing that is foolproof, which is that codec. The WebM format.
Really?
Yep. They will.
Okay. Like I was just going to say use Flash.
Well, they have to, you know, support IE, so they will do what they're forced to do. It's just how it works.
I just wish that Firefox and Chrome wouldn't be so stupid about being so dedicated to open source that they could at least have the option built in to have H.264, just have like a little checkbox, you know, and ship it with the browser. That's the thing that annoys me most about open source.
Yeah. But you see, that encourages the developers to, you know, or that encourages Microsoft and other big corporations. It's like telling them that they can use it, whereas if they don't offer the option, then they will be able to have a more standards-based...
Microsoft will be able to use WebM, or the other two will be able to use H.264?
I don't know. I lost whatever I was talking about.
I don't know. Eric, what do you think on this?
Don't have any input. Doesn't really affect me. Not yet, anyway. Let's see.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think we beat it to death either way. So.
Yeah, we did. Just use Safari. That's the simplest solution.
No. Use Chrome. Without the plugin.
Alrighty. Next piece of tech news. Watson conquers Jeopardy! Now, Watson is a supercomputer built by IBM, and in February they're going to be having a Jeopardy! Episode in which the two Jeopardy! Contenders, Ken Jennings and what is the other person's name? I forget his name. But Ken Jennings and this other guy will face off against Watson, which is IBM's computer.
Jennings was the guy who won consecutively a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, for 70 other days or something like that. Yeah. So basically what Watson does is he has all I forget which dictionary it is, but he has this dictionary, World Book Encyclopedia, and something else, and then he scans these sources based on the input given by the clue, and then within a few seconds comes up with a solution to the answer. So Brad Rutter was the other guy.
That will be interesting.
Basically this is the example that that they did. So Mr. Jennings chose a category called Chicks Dig Me. The host read a clue: Kathleen Kenyon's excavation of this city mentioned in Joshua shows that the walls had been repaired 17 times. Anybody know the answer?
No clue.
No.
What is Jericho? Answered Watson in a correct answered in a simulated masculine voice. Watson went on to answer the next four clues before the humans recovered and answered one. Final score was Watson $4,400, Jennings $3,400, and Mr. Rutter $1,200. So the computer beat the real people at this. And next month they will actually have a televised version of this. But the main point about this story is that supercomputers are becoming easy to build. So easy, in fact, that we now have the compute power to simulate a human brain. And essentially with this, we are just missing the software portion, AI programming, that would allow us to create a person inside a computer. So this is another step towards full AI in that realm. And they noted that they compared the computer, that they compared Watson to the computer on the Starship Enterprise compared to the evil HAL 9000 computer. I just thought I'd throw that in there, since we all are Star Trek fans here, right?
Yes.
Chief, do you have anything on this?
No, I don't.
Okay. I thought you wanted to share something that you were talking about in pre-show about this.
Oh, it doesn't really matter that much. Did you find it that amusing?
No, I didn't actually, but anyway. I just thought you might want to share it.
Big Blue.
Yeah.
They're the names of computers at my old school. Actually, I can say it's my old school now. Yes. Fondly given to those computers by one of our art teachers. He named them. Anyway, yeah. Long story.
And that's it for tech news this week. So let's just move on to some other things. January Skill of the Month update is Slayer. Currently, the Lion is winning with 2.4 million XP. RS Gamer is still competing. He has 2.3 million experience. And Raging God is in third with 875K.
Wow, he's doing pretty well for third place.
Yeah, so they're still competing. It looks like Kelsey, Rapidash, and Raging God are also competing for third place. So halfway through the month, and there's still a race going on. So that's always good. Eric, you didn't enter the Skill of the Month.
I didn't. I would have if I didn't have 99 Slayer, but
that's a good point.
Dungeonarian, but kind of got sidetracked by next, but we'll see.
And then fourth, as we said, Kelsey Rapidash, and then fifth, One Stone Pwn, 714K. And there's the top five for the week. Informer guest articles. We need guest articles once more for RSBNB Informer. So if you've always wanted to write something for RSBNB Informer, doesn't matter what topic, send us a proposal and we'll probably approve it and then give you instructions on what to write and when it's due. Chief, you've written one before.
I have, actually. I have written one article, yes. I've kind of forgotten what it was about, but
it was something about Linux. But you made people think it was about abortion because you titled it pro-choice.
Yes.
I love that title. Eric, you got any plans to ever write an Informer article for us?
I'd be happy to. I have to figure out what to write it on. But, yeah.
Yeah, once you have an idea, just send it along to me and I'll tell you if that's good or not. Then we'll get you more instructions on that. So you guys can do like that, and there's a link in the notes at update.rsbnb.com to the specifications that we would like you to follow for submitting an application. Okay, do you have a pick for us now, Eric?
I do. It's from the new Mac OS X app store. It's called Lyrica, and it's kind of cool. It's a small program. It reads all your music files that you have in iTunes and automatically searches and finds the lyrics for all the songs and can automatically add them into your library. Relatively fast, too. I think it did about 1,000 songs in, 10 minutes or so. So it's a nice little feature if you like to sing along or read the lyrics. Definitely get it. I think it's
do you sing along?
Mainly just read. But it's 99 cents. Definitely worth it. So, yeah.
Alrighty. And that is OS X only. So if you want to enjoy this piece of software, you do need a Mac, unfortunately. But, or fortunately, maybe, I don't know. It's a matter of opinion, actually. But please do check this out in the Mac App Store. Even if you don't have a Mac, you can head on over to the preview for this and see what it looks like. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, these apps in the App Store might convince someone to buy a Mac. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it's a good addition. I spent hours just searching through the apps. There's plenty of them that you could find useful, no matter how you use your computer. But
yeah. Oh yeah, I don't know if like I would Angry Birds for the computer, right?
Yes, you have to download that, but I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, I find it better on the touch medium, but that's just me. But
yeah.
Yeah, there are lots in there, so if you have a Mac, check that out. And if you don't, check it out anyways. You can find the link in the show notes. Once again, at update.rsvmb.com. By the way, Chief, Trillion has 23 ratings, and it's already rated 4.5 stars.
So is it actually any good on a Mac?
I don't know. I never tried it. I'm happy with what I have right now.
Yeah.
But they got pictures on it. You know, I don't know. I don't think it's as customizable as ADM is, but that'll be a topic for another day, I think. So, anyways, Chief, why don't you tell us what you've been doing this week?
Well, I've actually had an interesting week on RuneScape for a change. I've been doing quite a lot of quests. But, yeah.
Are we working up to one quest in particular?
No, I'm not. Not specifically, no. I've just been doing it because I've had nothing else to do. I started off with Dream Mentor because that's one of the ones that I'd been meaning to do for ages. You know, unlock the last few Lunar spells, even though I've probably never used them. Yeah, it was a good quest. It was good. And it was quite short. Shorter than I expected. Apart from that, I also did few more some of the ones in the desert storyline.
Defender of Varrock, Missing My Mummy.
Okay, that wasn't, yeah, Missing My Mummy, that was it. But yeah, I was, yeah, after that I did Defender of Varrock and The Curse of Arav and Temple at Sentistan. Yes, I think that was
Yeah, that's a good one to do as well.
Over the course of
the ancient curses.
Yes. Not for any particular
reason.
Any
other stuff you...
I was building up to that, but I just happened to reach it, so I did it. Apart from that, no, I haven't been doing too much. I did a little bit of coding, but... I finished Prison Break.
Oh.
Okay, that's been my week.
Alrighty. Let's let Eric go next.
I've been exploring NexOut, reading through the forums, trying to figure out what her weakness is. Still yet to find one, if there is one. Did a few floors in Dungeoneering, but between that and Nex, that's pretty much it for RuneScape wise. Been studying for finals coming up next week.
Ooh.
But that's about it. Nothing too exciting.
Okay. Yeah, so hopefully we don't see you on RuneScape then, because, you know, you really should be studying for those finals.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. All right, then I guess that means it's my turn. This week just basically catching up on some coding, RuneWire related, site related. And as you know, when Chief, I'm sure you know, is when you're doing something, sometimes something else just jumps out at you and it's really, really annoying to you, and you have to fix that right away rather than just doing what you're supposed to be doing, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I also, I completely forgot I did this. I updated BradPad a little bit. That was a little bit more coding than I thought I did. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, right. That's that little slidey thing you did on the bottom.
Yes.
That's nice.
And a couple more little things.
Hmm.
Okay. Bradpad.co.nz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much been me this week, coding. Bit of butterfly catching on RuneScape, going for right now 85 Hunter on those butterflies. So it's Hunter, you know, Hunter is Hunter, and I'm not sure why I'm doing it. It's not really getting me any gain really at this point. I guess main thing should be to get level 83 and then 91 for the dragon and kingly implings. That's the main reason I'm doing it. Future benefit, I hope. And then after that, I'm really not sure what's going to be on RuneScape. So that's that, I think. I don't think there's anything else I forgot to mention. Oh, you know what we did forget to mention? We forgot to mention achievements of the week.
Oh, good work.
I didn't even see that. You should have said something when I moved on to what have we been doing.
Yeah, but I wasn't looking.
Anyway.
I did think it seemed kind of sudden, but...
Okay, so let's just start January 8th. Alex 43, 99 magic.
Yay! Congratulations, Alex.
January 9th, Agent Zaros, 99 Hunter.
Woo!
Congratulations. And January 13th, Table, 99 Farming.
I laugh every time I see that name.
Yeah, it's Table, right? TBL. No, it's Table. We'll call her Table. She's a table.
Congratulations, Kelsey. /Table.
I wonder if she listens to this. Probably not. Anyways, those are our achievements for the week. Congratulations to you all, and let's hope for a few more next week. So I think that's it for this week, unless either of you guys have anything else you want to mention?
Nope.
Chief?
Nope.
Alrighty then. It's been our B&B Update episode 291 with Shane closing out since Chief started the show, and our distinguished guest, Eric.
Bye, guys.
We'll see you guys all next week.